My body just took to the work they led us through very quickly. It was like they were upgrading our bodies, our spine, our DNA. It was just, and they were showing us the multi-dimensional reality and how it functioned. And it was all about unity consciousness. It was all about recognizing ourselves as one in every moment and living what we call the centered, pure living life, where we're really centered. We're neutral, we're not attaching, we're not getting caught up in the external reality.
Welcome to Into the Light podcast. This is where we will be discussing and exploring all things ascension. Ascension journey mapping, and understanding how we can deepen and increase our spiritual and healing journey, along with understanding concepts around the global consciousness awakening that's happening, quantum energy healing, personal growth and enlightenment, trauma healing, and so much more as we learn together from experts in the field. I'm your host, Adina Movana, and I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Let's dive in.
Today we have Kristen Margot Beilicke. She's a spiritual guide, a medical intuitive, an energy healer. And Kristen embarked on her awakening journey through yoga and plant-based nutrition and meditation. And as Metatron's collaborator for New Earth Formation, she explores multidimensional realms, witnessing the profound beauty of creation. And Kristen's mission is to facilitate conscious living, vitality, and true purpose realization. Welcome, Kristen. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate being here. So lovely.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I have to say, I'm so excited to have the opportunity to talk to you today because I've been following you for a couple of years now, and all of the work you do with the Unity Consciousness Summits kind of going on. I don't know, how often do you have those? It's like every couple times a year.
It's whenever I'm guided to. Honestly, that's how it rolls.
Oh my gosh. Well, I know you just had one and you've been super busy with that schedule. And then I think I originally connected with you last year, and you really inspired so much of my learning journey, and the guests that you have on and the interviews that you do are such a big part of my own inner transformational experience. So thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's such an honor to hear that from you, and excited to be here with you to share even more.
Yeah, this is great. And I like to just have a kind of a conversation going to learn about your work a little bit more, because I know I've talked to you one-on-one a couple times, and just diving into really what inspired you to create your mission around unity consciousness and why this is important to you, how you kind of came to this, your spiritual journey and making your life about doing this work.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's, as we all know, it's quite a journey. And I remember as a teenager, things just started to open up. It was just like, I recognized that life really wasn't the way that we were shown it was. I was starting to see in between the lines, if you want to put it that way.
I'm going to spotlight this too. Okay. Now we're side by side. Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah, so we have those awakening moments where things aren't all they seem in the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned plant nutrition and based living, and that started as a teenager as well. It was one of those things where I gave up meat for Lent, and when it came time to eat the Easter ham, I was like, I took one bite and I was like, oh no. Not doing that. So to the upset of my family, because we were heavy meat eaters, I became vegetarian and then vegan. And still today, 20 something years later, I'm still the picky eater, right?
The vegetarian base rebel in the family. Aren't we all just the dark sheep kind of experience of the family?
Yeah. So, and I wasn't actually, I'm not vegetarian or vegan now, but I definitely eat what's best for me. But it was that part of me recognizing there's these more of a diversity of life in the world than what I had been opened up to. And so then I started yoga, started meditating, and I remember I was like 19 years old when I remember thinking that I could have some really incredible experiences just by meditating. And so I started on a quest just to deepen a meditative practice to traverse the realms of the mind. And as some of our great forerunners before us said, open the doorways of the mind. And I really focused on that. And I, at the time, though, I was still really repressed in myself. I had been bullied when I was younger. I kind of just went into that space of don't see me, don't hear me. I don't want to have any contact. Just everyone leave me alone. You know. So I went, I was in this deep inner space, but I was also in a space of wanting to explore reality. So that's what I did. And it was, I started opening up to intuitive healing. Like I started just seeing energy in people's bodies and just started seeing how physical symptoms were related to more of a mental, emotional, spiritual experience. And so I dove into medical intuitive work. I dove into, okay, well then if we really are the makeup of this reality through the elements and through world, I'm going to study herbs and plant medicine and those types of things to really understand how to naturally treat our bodies, to try and be in that communication, be in that connection. And I did that for some time. And then, as you mentioned, as you were reading, introducing me, which is a nice introduction. Thank you. I like how you put your own creativity in that. It was really beautiful. And I was in a space of, I could just feel how when you receive visions or you receive information and it's that like that future knowing, and it's like kind of that intensity, but what's not now, it's coming.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just remember being in this state of going, I know something big is going to happen. I know I'm here for something bigger. There's something coming. And I could, and I could thinking I'm going to be channeling. These little pieces just kept coming in. And then in 2013, Metatron came through a hypnotherapy session that I was receiving at the time and asked the woman who was doing the session, this is our first time meeting, asked us to help support assisting in the creation of the new earth. And Metatron came through me in that session. And we were both like, oh, okay, sure. Yes. And that just opened up a whole nother level of, it was like, since I had honed that intuition, I had been honing these other capacities of myself and had been working with my body, been doing a lot of detoxing and clearing and nutritionally supporting my body in a very natural way. My body just took to the work they led us through very quickly. It was like they were upgrading our bodies, our spine, our DNA. It was just, and they were showing us the multi-dimensional reality and how it functioned. And it was all about unity consciousness. It was all about recognizing ourselves as one in every moment. And living what we call the centered, pure living life, where we're really centered, we're neutral, we're not attaching, we're not getting caught up in the external reality. And we're really recognizing ourselves as source. We're really recognizing ourselves as these incredible, potent, powerful creator beings. And so that was in 2018. And so I've just been growing and working with that and then recognizing what's happening on Earth and the collective and having that broad perspective view, giving me that vision so I could understand how to support people through this process of embodiment, the ascendant embodiment of our light body, of our source creator light body. And so it's been quite amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, you had quite a journey. And you mentioned you were fast, you mentioned Lent. So I was curious what your religious background was and when you kind of took a turn into more spiritual new age type of like your stricter religious background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school for part of my life. We didn't have a Catholic high school. So I went to high school, but I went to Catholic school through third grade. And then we moved across town and we were closer to a public school. So my parents said, do you want to go to private or do you want to go to public? They actually gave us that option. My sister was just a year older than me. So we were fourth, fifth graders going, well, let's try public. I don't know how we came to that decision, but that's where I was bullied and had really traumatic experiences that had shaped a lot of my understanding of self and suffering and judgment and violence and all of those things, which has helped me understand others' situations as well very deeply. And then I decided I'm going back to Catholic school. I'm going back to where there's only 10 kids in my class and it's really tight knit. And so I went back to Catholic school for 7th and 8th grade and then went to public high school. And it was at that transition when I was still struggling in Catholic school. I was still struggling with my sense of well-being. I was not happy. It really tore me apart, the whole bullying piece that happened. But I remember having this pivotal moment recognizing I was going back into a public school situation. And I just said, I just have to be me. I just have to focus on who I am and not let anyone get to me, you know? And that was quite a process still to unwind all of that with that space. And so it was through Lent. And then it was also my sister actually was a catalyst. She actually got the yoga journal. I think somehow she saw it and found it. So she had the yoga journal. And so I was like, oh yeah. So I just started picking them up and reading them. And then she was that whole phase that we can sometimes go into as teens, like the pagan Wiccan thing, did that. And then I was like, oh, there's something so much more. I could just feel it and sense it. It was like the energy of everything just started to get so crisp and clear to me. And so that was when it was that moment of getting confirmed in the Catholic Church. And I didn't want to. But I had asked my aunt, who is now passed on, and she was such a beautiful woman. So all my aunts and uncles on both sides of my family were pretty Catholic. I came from both sides being very Catholic. And she was a very devout Catholic. She, you know, was like, as much as she could go to church, she was going to church, right? And she was a beautiful woman, just very humorous. And she was just one of my favorite relatives. And I had a closer relationship with her. So I asked her to be my sponsor for confirmation. And so I couldn't not do it. It was one of those things where I loved her so much that I felt like I would let her down if I didn't do it. Yeah. So I went through it. And then after that, I told my parents, I'm never going to church again. I did what I had to do. I'm done. So that was that. And then it became more of the spiritual journey of, who are we really? What is this reality really? And yeah. I want to focus on that and create that life and create that experience for myself.
Yeah. And also just feel like you're still in alignment with God, even if you're not conforming or restricted to that specific religious tradition, or you kind of break. I feel like so many of us in the awakening process, we're breaking away from our religious traditions or things from our parents, but we're also having to still reconcile and feel like we're in alignment with God or with Source or with that kind of energy. And so I was just curious about how you feel like you're closer to the divine or you're closer in alignment with God consciousness now than with stricter religious systems that might have been in place.
Well, it was interesting because I never really got much from the Catholic religion. Even at my young age, even when I was really young, I was like, this isn't real. And I also could just sense so much hypocrisy. Even when I was a young child, I just remember watching people and going, is that how people in church are supposed to behave? You know what I mean? It was like, I just felt like I'm going to church because I have to, because I'm supposed to, because it's church on Sunday. I don't want to be a sinner. I just felt like it wasn't real. My relatives, I felt like they had a deeper connection with it. Like a couple of them, like my aunt that I mentioned, because for her, it was more like that deeper connection. Like I could feel it in her. It's like I could feel it. And that's why I felt connected to her, because I could feel a different type of connection with God through her. And it was annoying because I went to Catholic school and I felt like the nuns and the priests, I just watched them. And I'm like, I don't feel that they're living any sort. I only remember like one or two after the multiple ones that I had interacted with, nun and priest, that I felt like they were really taking on that divinity. Like they were really walking the talk. They were really embodying a different energy. Other than that, I didn't really experience it. And so it felt empty to me. It really felt empty to me. And that's why it was just easy for me to transition to something else, but still recognizing. And it wasn't until I really got deeper into my meditative practice and studying more yoga and really going deep into that, that I was like, well, yeah, it is all one, but we're all in different spectrums of our connection and connection to that. And so what I wanted to do is just deepen my connection with whatever that looked like for me. And so it was very much, I was very connected to nature, even as a young child. That was my place of solace and connection. So I really felt that what I came here to do, as you said, what was your mission? How did you get on your mission? It's like, for those of us who just have those senses when we're children and we come into this and we just follow that path, I just felt I was really guided by nature. I was really guided and held in that way because I felt so at home in nature. And that's what helped me feel and recognize the diversity of life in humanity and the diversity of life in nature, and how in this diversity, there's this synergy, this symbiosis of creation, of life. And that's where I started to recognize that unity, the unity in life, and that despite whatever was going on in the world and how humanity was behaving or how humanity was treating the earth or treating each other, there was still this fundamental peace that kept everything connected. And even in my early 20s, I was reading Joseph Campbell and reading all these people that were studying all the religions and the mythos of reality, and just the thread of the creation is always the same. The thread of creation is always the same. And so that really supported me in understanding on the hero's journey and all of that, and how we are all here to learn about ourselves and go through these trials and tribulations to really understand the deeper depth of life. And so, yeah, those were some real key moments in my earlier years that helped me have that foundation, so that when Metatron did come in, I was like, oh yeah, I know that. Let's go, you know? Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, that's quite a journey. I mean, I think we all go through this, like reflecting on how we've had to evolve on our own individual path here and shedding away all of the different beliefs that we had and stepping into these new identities when they come to us. And I was curious about the way you described when you started healing and doing yoga and focusing on meditation and your connection with nature, how did that give you the intuitive like abilities or the gifts to do this healing work? Or like, what do you do as far as the healing modalities, and how does that like start to come into alignment with how you are? Yeah. How are your deep, your spiritual experiences?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. They all really, so when I was young, I think one of the things that I always remember is that I remember always just kind of observing and watching everybody and always feeling like I could sense what was going on. I was always recognizing there's something more here that I don't really know, but I can sense it. Right? So I remember sitting there, and there was a family that lived down the street when I was really young. We lived on a street where it was just a lot of families and a lot of kids, and we were always running around together. And back in the days when you did that, you know, it was great. And one of the families had a son who was disabled in some way, and it was really stressful on the family. And I remember I would go up to the mother because she'd be sitting on the porch, and I could just tell she was so stressed. And I would just rub her shoulders when I was like 6 years old. And I just did it. It was just that compassion, that natural empathy. And I feel that I've always had that, even though I got a little closed off when the bullying happened. But I could still start. And so when I started going more into nature and yoga and meditation, I feel like it was just a natural progression for that intuitiveness, that empathy to open up and be what it really was for me that I could sense when I was younger. Right. And then when I started taking some classes, I took a medical intuitive class. I took a little bit of Reiki, but I didn't really feel really aligned with it. And then I just remember sitting in meditation one day, and I just heard, you already know how to do this. This is who you are. And so I was like, okay, I am just going to start saying what I'm seeing, telling people what I'm seeing, so I can get used to trusting what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling and what I'm sensing. Because it happens on all the levels for me. So it was just a really a natural experience for me, because when I would take the medical intuitive class and I was able to pick out everything, it was like, oh, it's already there. I don't need to develop. And I even actually took some classes at the Berkeley Psychic Institute just because I was still curious. I'm like, well, what more could I learn? Is there something more that I could develop? Will something more wake up? And then as I was there, I'm like, well, I'm already doing this. So I might, so I'm just going to go off on my own and keep developing it. And it was through working with people that it was like, oh, it just, like I said, comes naturally. And then when I started working with groups of people and just recognizing that I could hold a whole field and recognize and see and feel so much coming through the whole field, that it was like, oh, okay. It was almost like, okay, this is what I do. This is who I am. It was more of just a progression of life and an acceptance of what is, and letting myself do it and just doing it and being it. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Well, I know you call yourself kind of like a soul embodiment guide, and so, or like spiritual guide. How do you work with your clients? Like, I know you do group sessions, like you just mentioned, and then you also do one-on-one. How are you helping people kind of embody their soul and purpose, or whatever that might look like for each person?
Yeah, just like what you were saying with what we were going to dive into with is kind of calibrating with the earth harmonics, or just the changes of the harmonics right now. That's really what it is. It's going, how can we come into harmony with ourselves? So in one-to-one sessions and groups, that's like the foundation. Is how can we come into harmony with ourself to recognize ourself as the source embodied being? And so I support people in recognizing patterns, behaviors, things that aren't in harmony with self, and unraveling and bringing in the actual true harmonics of the soul template, so that, as I say, we can live a heart and soul led life. So that's basically, I mean, every session is different because people bring in different things and I'm seeing different things and maybe different guides come in. So, but most of it is how can I support someone in shifting from not being in harmony, not being in balance, not having the awareness to awareness. And I lead a lot of self-inquiry. So I'm not just giving information and letting the person hear it. It's like, okay, I lead them into the somatic experience. What are you feeling in your body? Where are you feeling it? What memories are coming up? What words are coming up for you? What's happening? And then I'll share what I'm seeing too, so we can build a bigger picture and then lead a healing process to shift whatever it is, transmute, dissolve, whatever words you want to use. Yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds like it goes into your deeply rooted traumas, because I know you mentioned in childhood you had like the bullying experiences and things like that that you've had to heal through. So yeah, how are you helping people really get identified or releasing those deep-seated traumas, and how is it really like creating that space for healing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So whenever we have trauma, it happens a lot where we still hold the people that maybe were part of creating that trauma accountable,
right?
Responsible. And so then there's the deflection and there's the separation from self. And so a lot of times what I'll lead is going into those traumas and one, maybe creating a different choice for what we were going to create in those moments, how we're perceiving those moments, like what emotions, ideas, feelings we're attaching to those moments. We're having forgiveness for ourselves for any of the judgment of self, the resentment, the anger, the grief, whatever it is that we're holding, shifting all of those. So it's very multi-layered, but it starts here. And then going into, okay, can I just release those people or experiences, places, things, whatever is involved in it, whatever lifetime, because we do lifetimes too, wherever we're holding it and tracking it, so we can see also where it's coming through our energy field, where it's being held as a pattern. Also DNA, ancestral stuff. So we kind of look at all these layers to go, okay, can we now not hold on to that as part of our identity anymore from that place, and bring love and compassion into it? So we're embracing and releasing at the same time. We're embracing it, because a lot of times we find our greatest strengths and our greatest traumas.
Right.
And so it's really identifying, looking at both pieces. Okay, well, this is my strength. This is the trauma. Let's bring them together into unity, unravel everything that we're holding around the trauma, let go of the people, let go of the places, and have that freedom, have that liberation again. So we're really taking in that energy. And so we call back our power of where we're putting it out anywhere in the world, where we're keeping that trauma story going.
Right.
Just releasing, just really letting that, really setting that free and welcoming. And so this really takes to the real true knowing that you want to let it go, that you don't want that to be a part of your, you don't want to be a victim to the trauma anymore or consider yourself a victim. You know, it's kind of recognizing, and when we go even deeper into it, it's going, okay, I'm a soul that chose to come here into this body. And I made some contracts and agreements with some people, with myself, to have certain experiences. So when we look at it from that level, we can also go, oh, wow, let's see what I learned from that. Let's see what I can gain from that. And not have this awful view of these people. They were playing the role for what we wanted to create on some levels, right? Yes, there has been a lot of distortion where some of those contracts and agreements got way blown out of proportion too. So we deal with that. And then it's really allowing someone and holding that space for someone to just go into it and say, okay, letting themselves feel all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the feelings that they're holding, and really hold that sacred, divine, compassionate, loving space. So the body can let it go. The nerve system can let it go and recalibrate. So the neurotransmitters of the brain can start to recognize that there's a possibility for a new pathway of thoughts, emotions, behaviors, so that we can. So it's a multi-level, multifaceted process that's individual for each person, depending on where they're at.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like we're all on this healing journey individually, or people, more and more people are kind of waking up, and we're talking about this ascension process and like getting rid of, healing through these traumas and everything. It seems to be connected into our nervous system regulation, kind of like what you're talking about, where we have to not be triggered into this fight or flight response. And so it seems like it's all connected into the way that this like healing needs to kind of happen for each person individually, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because we have different ways that we hold on to things in different ways. Because a lot of times our traumas, we've created all these protective mechanisms that help us survive in the world. And so then we have to identify those and see where we can adjust those and create different roles for the parts of ourselves that are having to control, protect, defend, hide, keep looping maybe those types of traumatic experiences in our life. So we have to keep experiencing them to uphold the story. So we have to kind of unwind and have that broader picture of our life and go, oh, wow, it's playing out there. It's playing out there. It's playing out there. And so that there's that opportunity, like we said, to keep relaxing into that decision and that choice that it's okay. One, accepting that it happened, acknowledging, accepting that it happened, or whatever it is, or keeps happening, so that we can train the brain and the mind to have a different way of relating to it, responding to it, so that we can keep taking those deep breaths when it comes up, to keep meeting it. To keep meeting it, to keep meeting it, right? So we're not seeing it as something that's awful and bad anymore, that we can see as something that's just presenting itself to keep inviting healing to, inviting the transformation with, and having dialogue with it. That's one of the biggest pieces I love to support people in with, is having communication with themselves, or having communication with a certain behavior pattern or a certain thought process, so that when it happens, you're not going into resistance or reactions going, oh, hey, I see you. I hear you. Okay. What's there in it for me right now? How do I need to relate with you right now? What would be aligned? What would be supportive? And when we start dialoguing with parts of ourselves, our bodies, our emotions, our thoughts, then we get to go into that deep connect. We're really connecting with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're really taking those moments to say, ah, okay, I can really connect with that part of myself and see what myself wants to say to me. See what the part of myself that's holding that or wants to come up and say this or say that or do that. And then a lot of times what will happen is it can help calm the body will calm down because we're not going into restriction or reaction or fight or flight. And then there can be less charge. And then we gain more information. And then we gain more space because we're taking that time to pause and connect to then choose. Then we have more choice in how that trigger or how that experience is going to play out in our life. We can have more choice with how we're going to behave or speak or act or feel or be.
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, people talk about doing this shadow work or confronting the deepest, darkest parts of your own self. And then that work is really about integration and not in healthy integration and not about turning it away or continuing patterns of shame. But yeah, I was really feeling like that's part of this process of confronting your ego. Or maybe you can talk a little bit about how it all connects into how we're working through ego mastery or not letting our ego be in the driver's seat of our of our vessel, but like that we're really here to but to do this work in like a healthy way and an integrative way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the processes as we're having that dialogue, then we get to go, wow, what are the qualities of life that I really want to have? What are the qualities of myself do I really want to embody and be? And so as we're meeting the challenge or whatever, then we're meeting it on the other, we're meeting it with what we really want. And so they can start to converge and start to mingle, right? And so the identities, right? The identities or the ego, now we're not letting the ego have its party, right? Of like, oh, yay, I get to go play in that drama or I get to go do that. Because as we know, our personality, our person is not truly who we are. The person is the conditioning. The personality is the conditioning. The soul self is the self that we've been kind of feeling underneath and kind of through and around our identities and egos. And so what we get to do, just as we say, attention goes, our focus goes where our attention goes, right? Mm-hmm. So if we keep putting our attention and our focus on those qualities of being or on those experiences that we would like to be having, and we say, okay, I am those affirmations, those statements, but also letting ourselves feel it. Like, okay, I'm just going to sit for a moment and let myself feel joy or welcome joy into my body or happiness or contentment or peace or calm, whatever it is. And we really start to say, okay, body, okay, mind, this is what I really want to create in my space, in my life. So show me. But it's even having that dialogue with the soul, with the self, just invite it. Show me what it'll take or what it'll be for me to really transform the personality, the identity, the ego. And a lot of times what I'll do is like, okay, I'm noticing ego popping up, wants to say this, wants to say that. Hi, you can take the back seat right now because what I really want is this. And so we really start to become the driver. And we just keep sending the ego to the backseat. Just hang out and watch. You can still be here. Just hang out and watch. So it's those kind of dialogues and communications that we start to have to where then over time, over practice and effort and that mindfulness, it just becomes more natural. Those parts of ourselves just become more natural that when something pops up, we can adjust easily. And so it's always giving ourselves permission, no matter how far down the road we've gone into our ego, our identity, our personality, is that every moment is an opportunity to pivot or adjust so that we can learn to be gentle with ourselves of, oh, I did that again, or that came up again, or whatever it is, right? It's going. So that's like the mastery is really recognizing the truth of what our connection, we really want our connection, our life, our thoughts, our words, our behaviors to be, start focusing on those, recognizing what isn't as part of the identity and ego, and then go, yeah, okay, it's a dance. We're going to play here for a bit. It's going to go, the volley is going to go back and forth for a while. We're going to play a game here until one becomes before that soul essence of self and the qualities of being really start to be the driver, and the ego just gets to play. And we can give it a different role, and before it starts to then just transform to the point where some things just eventually dissolve, and we don't even, it's not even there anymore for us. We've definitely transformed those parts of the ego or the identity.
Right. And what do you say to people who are curious about, like, why this work is so important, like at this time? I mean, we're talking about things happening astrologically. And I know people on your show, we talk about DNA upgrades and going into our light bodies. Like, what do you see as being the most important thing for us to focus on? Like, and why now? And as far as like having awareness of doing this work?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel what is really pivotal for a lot of us right now is really being present, because present creates the mindfulness, like going, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, what am I doing now? What am I feeling now? What do I really want to be doing now? It's like really staying in that present moment. So we're pulling ourselves back from having to ruminate about the past or what's going to happen next. It's going, I'm right here right now. I'm going to take care of what's right now. And being in the heart, really cultivating that place of love, that place of, and when I say love, it's just that feeling of connection with the self, with you first. That's what I find most powerful, is when you find and create and cultivate that connection with yourself first, then it's easier to have it with others on that neutral. So creating neutrality, where we're pulling ourselves from judgment, we're pulling ourselves from feelings of lack, we're pulling ourselves. So when you're in the present moment and you just feel full of the present moment, then we don't tend to go off in all those limbs of thoughts, right? And why is this important right now? And really taking care of ourselves on another level that I don't think that we have before, like really being mindful about what the body needs, what the mind needs, what the emotions need, being really connected into that, right?
And yeah, it's like we're going into like operating from places of higher consciousness, like where with higher intention of everything that we're doing, putting into our bodies and how it's impacting ourselves. Mental health awareness is going into, people are becoming more and more aware. So it's definitely. Yeah.
So the purification process, really, we're really purifying on so many levels right now. And so it's kind of going, okay, well, what's my relationship with my purity of thought, my purity of feeling, my purity of physicality, and just taking a look and recognizing where we can adjust and keep focusing on that. Because when each one of us, because a lot of times we project outside, like, okay, what can I do externally? How can I be of service out there? The greatest service is right here first, to attune the body, to attune the mind, to come into that frequency, because you are a pillar of light. You are an embodied source being. So treat yourself as one and let the service come from that place, or let your passions, let your mission, your purpose, whatever it is, come from really taking care of yourself first and purifying. And like you were saying, those higher frequencies, letting in and from without the frequency. So being really connected with nature, connecting with as much naturalness as possible, the sunlight, the earth, the trees, the plants, because that relationship then shows the subconscious that this is who you really want to be, and will start giving you more prompts and opportunities to choose those things and be those things, right? And so there's been a lot of talk of urgency because of the state of the planet and the state of everything right now. And it's like, yes, and, right? Yes, there is a state of urgency because there's a lot collapsing on this planet as far as environmental, the ecosystems, the political systems, all of that. But what matters most is how you're holding your thought and your frequency, because your frequency is what's holding, being, allowing the shift of the planetary consciousness for everything to go together. Right? Instead of there being strife and struggle on another different level. So the more that you connect with the true essence of yourself and let that be, how you're going to live your life, how you're going to move, how you're going to walk and be really in that alignment and that harmonic, then the harmonics of the planet, you attune to that and your body just starts to integrate, because planet is just like just popping right now. I mean, the planet is just, the energy centers are just pulsing photonic light so strongly. And our DNA at the essence and the core is photons. It's light. It's not physical. It's just memory and light. And so when we attune ourselves to recognizing that light that we are, the spark of light from source and earth, and we keep connecting that and reminding ourselves of that and letting our bodies have that, even breathing and recognizing, oh, I can breathe in light and I'm going to open my body to light. Then what it allows the frequency of our body to raise, the frequency of our mind, thoughts, emotions, the whole of our biofield, our whole morphogenetic field that we're operating within the cosmos, because we're just in the natural progression of the cosmology right now. We're moving from, as we talked, the Kali Yuga to the Satya Yuga, where it's moving from the dark to the light, right? We're going through it. We're moving into a spiritual age.
Or Age of Aquarius from the Pisces.
Age of Aquarius. Yeah. So it's like, how are we going to move with it? Are we going to say yes to, let's just focus here, attune myself to it and move with it? Or are we going to stay in watching what's going on in the world and all the chaos and the melo and get caught up in that and stay in that vibration? So it's really just a choice of going, where are we going to focus our energies? And the more of us that stay in that energetic zone of ourself, right, and the frequency. And so I don't necessarily like, I mean, the frequency is definitely high. So it's not that pressure to go, I have to stay in a high frequency all the time. Because, you know, it's like, then we short out, right? It's just going, how can I just be mindful of how I am in my frequency right now? And as we're getting pulsed with these higher frequencies, how am I going to breathe with that and invite my body to integrate, to invite my mind to integrate, to invite all of this to come together as one? So we're not, that's uncomfortable. That I don't like, it's because a lot of physical symptoms are happening. A lot of emotions are coming up, a lot of challenging thoughts are coming up. And so it's going, okay, I know this is an opportunity for my body to shift, my mind to shift. So let's just invite the integration, the changes, and how can I support the space right now? Maybe I need to go rest. Maybe I need to take a bath. Maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I need to call a friend. Maybe I need to eat something. It's just like going right now, right here, in this now moment, when we stay in that depth of awareness and connection to self and connection to our environment, we stand in the all and everything that exists at once. We're not staying in any separateness or the past or the future. And we have access to an amazing amount of energy, an amazing amount of clarity, and an amazing amount of potential in that moment. Mm-hmm. So it's a deep practice. And because the way that the sun is operating and the cosmology and the earth is operating, we will make it through. There's definitely going to be more chaos. There's definitely going to be more challenges. There's definitely going to be more shifts of environments and ecosystems and climates on the planet. We're shifting, just recognizing everything is shifting. So let's shift with it.
Yeah. Let's shift with it. Like everything is increasing in these vibrational energy frequencies. And I mean, people are talking about ascension symptoms and from just, I don't know, there's obviously mental health crisis going on with more people having all kinds of issues. So, and I know we're getting close to the time here. I don't know if people have questions, but I was just curious, like, how long do you work with your clients, or what are some of the programs that you're doing right now for someone who's interested to maybe work with you or learn more about this conscious living path, and what kind of programs right now are you having?
Thank you. Yeah. So I do one-on-one sessions with people regularly. So there's that option, just to have a session with me, an hour-long session. I also do 6-month and year-long mentorships with people to support them in the deep changes of life. And I, right now, next Friday, I actually have a 7-week source embodiment course starting, and we're going to go deep into our relationship with self, our relationship with being in a body on this earth right now, and working with the elements so that we can really embody the different, these next frequencies of the living consciousness of earth, of ourself, so we can really be at home and recognize this ascension is really coming into the body. It's really about the embodiment of our soul, of ourself, of the light. And so we can open up more of who we are and our capacities and skills as a soul and a body right now.
Yeah, and just focusing on why this work is so important right now, like we were just talking about timely. And I love that you have these programs to help us on our ascension process and get people this healing, mental, physical, spiritual alignment that we're looking for right now. And yeah, it's wonderful. When did you say you have that next course starting?
It starts March 8th. The opening ceremony is March 8th, so there's still time to join if anyone
let's do it.
Interested.
Amazing, amazing. And I don't know if we have any comments, but if anyone has any questions or anything, where can people find you, Kristen, if they're interested in following or want to find track you down your website? Where do you recommend people go?
I post a lot on Facebook just under my name, Kristen Margo Bilecki. I also have the Awakened Soul page on Facebook. AwakenSoul.net is my website. And I have you can find Awakened Soul with Kristen on YouTube. And so we have some great places to connect. And I'm really excited. We have a really great group forming for that 7-week journey. And I'd love more people to come on if people feel the alignment with being in your bodies and consciousness.
Amazing. That sounds awesome. Yeah, I know. I've seen you. I see you posting a lot on social media and all your Facebook groups and everything. So I love to help promote the work that you're doing and get you more, you can get it more synergy around these topics, because I just feel like it's life-changing. I've sat in on so many of your sessions and different talks and some of the weekly events. And I just think it's great to be focused on this work, and it's bringing us into so much alignment as a collective.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you and creating the space so that we can connect more and support people. Yeah. So if anyone has a question, I'm open to supporting or sharing information or whatever feels the flow right now.
I'm also going to send out a recording of this, because I actually have, I think we had like 25 people here on the call, but I have about 100 or so plus registered on the email and who've attended. So we'll have this replay available, and we'll send it out to you guys as well if you're on the list. Yeah. And otherwise, we have these calls every week. So yeah, thank you so much, Kristen. And I think if we don't have any comments, we'll just close it out with any final thoughts you'd like to share, or words of wisdom for our audience here, if anyone's listening or watching on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel right now it's just staying in a calm space, just really allowing the experiences of life to bring us more deeply into the body, more deeply into the self, more deeply into the heart, so that we can recognize more of who we are and choose more of who we are in each moment. And choose our hearts, choose the guidance of our hearts and the love and the compassion for ourselves and the world right now. I think that's a really powerful place to be. It was real deep compassion.
Yes, thank you. And I guess we have someone. I don't know if you want to do a meditation or anything you like to end with, but it's up to you. I think we have some fans looking for meditations, but yeah, and saying thank you.
I mean, I could do just a couple minutes of just creating a meditation, as I was saying, to bring us into the moment, the present, compassionate space of ourself. Would that be okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So inviting you all that are present and on the replay to, if you're in a safe place to close your eyes and you place a hand on your heart, maybe another hand on your belly, or maybe both hands on your heart, whatever feels good. And just taking a deep breath and really feeling your chest rise with your hands on your heart. And as you feel your chest rise, inviting yourself to be here with your breath. And as you're here with your breath, just noticing what's alive for you here in your breath. Maybe something that was said, that you heard, that you're feeling, that your body's sensing. Just take a deep breath with it. Take a deep breath with you. And just saying hi to yourself, to your body, and all that may be flowing in your mind and your body and in your emotions. And as we do that, we'll just welcome in a white light. So inviting a white light to come around your body. And as you invite this white light around your body, you can ask this white light to just support you in releasing, integrating, dissolving, transmuting anything that's available for you now to do so that's no longer needed in the body or any parts of the energy body, and welcoming your soul light, your soul blueprint, your soul being to fill up your energy body, to fill up your body, welcoming you home to yourself, welcoming you home to your heart, welcoming compassion for yourself and love for yourself, welcoming an opportunity right now to be in a deep connection with you. And if you wish, just naming or feeling or being open to a quality of being that you'd really like to feel and know and be. Maybe it's more love, maybe it's more peace, maybe it's more clarity. We're just going to welcome all of that good, beautiful, and seeing you all bringing those into the body, just letting your breath as you breathe in, just letting your whole body, the cells of your body, the DNA of your body, your whole being light up with this frequency. And as you're allowing this frequency to fill your body, letting it expand out to your energy body, remembering who you are, remembering to be true to yourself, that you are whole, that you are source, that you are beautiful, that you are an amazing being in this body at this time. Just taking another deep breath into the body, to the heart. We welcome our pure love, our pure innocence, our pure self to guide us even more deeply to ourselves, to be home right here, right now. And just feeling your body, feeling your hands, feeling your feet. And when you're ready to open your eyes as if you're looking out from your heart, from this compassion or the quality that you brought in, or that knowing remembrance of yourself, so that the space around you is received by you from this place. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We all feeling that now, huh? Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Kristen. That was lovely. And I'm so glad we got the recording, and we're going to send that out to everyone who missed it. But yeah, I think, yes, we're getting some thank yous, appreciations in the comments. So yeah, I really appreciate the call we had today. It was a great conversation, and I learned so much about you and all your work and everything you're here and the mission. So, and I'm looking forward to attending more of your Unity Consciousness Summits events.
Thank you for having me here. It's a real pleasure. It was a real beautiful way to connect with you. And thank you everyone that was here and all that are on the replay. I appreciate you all.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode today. Please share your biggest takeaway with me via our community. For new listeners, thank you for tuning in. I invite anyone to explore the resources, links, and show notes available on my website, www.adinamovana.com. If a topic or discussion piqued your curiosity or interest today during the show, you can easily find it there at that website. And if you have any specific topics you would like me to cover, feel free to email me at em@adinamovana.com. Thank you again for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week on Into the Light.